Good morning. Hey, I hope everybody is doing well today. Are you a little warmer this Sunday than you were last week? Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, thank goodness. And Mark, yeah, give Mark a hand. Yep, Mark threatened all the HVAC guys, and as a matter of fact, basically I think what he said is, look, you don't understand. I'm going to be hanging from a tree if we don't have this thing fixed next time we are together. But we appreciate all of Mark's hard work with our building and grounds team and the crews that have us warm today, because God is good
all the time.
And all the time. God really, really is good. Listen, look around. Give somebody a wave. Give them a smile. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to tell Dr. Cazito a hearty good morning or wave or just let him know that you're there. Just don't hang out there in cyber world all on your own. Let him know that you're there with him and that he's not sitting back there monitoring you in vain. But we appreciate all the work Dr. Cazito does with interaction with our folks that join us online, and we're so glad that you are here today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth amidst trying times. There have been some interesting times, haven't they? Yeah, nothing is the same. Things are continually to change, and it seems like they're doing that rapidly. But you know what? There's one thing that never changes, and that is our God. So today we're here to worship Him, as we mentioned a moment ago, in spirit and in truth. Let's call on Him in prayer right now. Father, as we come to you right now, we're so grateful and so thankful for this opportunity that you give us to have the time to be able to come together. Lord, as we gather this morning, we think about those around the world who don't have the opportunities and don't have the freedoms that we are exercising right now in being able to gather and lift up our voices to you in praise, Lord, to gather around your word, and Lord, for your Holy Spirit just to be able to move freely in this place. Lord, we're grateful for those opportunities. Lord, thank you today that it's warm in the sanctuary, even though it's a little cool outside. Lord, we realize that all good things do come from you. So, Father, we pray right now that you will help us to put aside any distraction in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, we pray that we truly will deal with you today, one-on-one, that we might be drawn closer to you. Lord, we pray, as always, if there's one who doesn't know you, that today would be the day there truly would be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven because that soul gave their life to you. Lord, today we just ask that you would help us. Lord, help us to put aside anything that makes us have our minds someplace other than on you right now. For Lord, we know that there are many, many things that are taking place in each individual life as well as in our world right now. This is your time, Lord. This is your day. May we honor it. Lord, may we sing praises to you from our heart. May we gather around your word in a way that we never have. And may we leave this place different than when we came in. As Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Week who allow work behind the scenes to have us here to worship each week, so we sure do appreciate that. I invite you to stand with me and sing 261, Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty sing, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life, beautiful words.
Please be seated. We sing You Are My All in All.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking You as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless Your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, You pick me up. When I am dry, You fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Jesus, Lamb of God.
Again,
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name.
I want to ask Doug, make your way on up here if you would. A lot of folks have had an opportunity over the years to be able to hear Doug Kreider, as well as his backup that will soon be probably taking his place, JD. You're going to get to hear both of them in just a moment, but for those who may be watching or those who may not know it here, our minister of music, John Kreider, that served here for many, many years. This is his son, and we were blessed to have the opportunity to not only enjoy all of John's talents as he brought to us what God gave him at Central Baptist Church. He also brought his kids, has done well at teaching them as they follow in his footsteps. I think one of the greatest joys would be that John says, there's no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the Lord. And man, what a great, great example Doug is, as well as JD. So we're going to let Doug bless your heart, and then just a little while later, JD will join him for our offertory time. Thank you.
Oh, cleanser of the mess I've made. Upon the hill our places trade, stretched on a cross, Your body crushed. By human hands You formed from dust. Oh, how wonderful Your mercy is. Oh, how awesome are I've made. Your
your boundless love for me portray. With patience for my learning curve, by holding back what I deserve. Oh, how wonderful your mercy is. Oh, how awesome are your ways. I come to worship you for all you've done. Oh, cleanser of the mess I've made, with everything at your feet laid, I watch as all my cares erode, as from my soul these words explode. Oh, how wonderful your mercy is. Oh, how awesome are your ways.
Today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me, if you would. You know, we see throughout God's Word many ingredients that come together to make miracles. And I love, one of the things I really love about how God works and how His Word works is the fact that along the way, He lets us in on these miracles. He lets us see what's taking place. And He lets us see the crowds in various and sundriest places. And He points out different things. You know, today I would challenge you to ask yourself, where am I in the crowd of the Scripture we're going to be looking at today? You know, now I'll just give you an example. It's not the one we're using right now. But if you think about the crucifixion, there were many that were gathered around the cross. There were those who did so with a compassionate heart, that were sad for what was taking place. There were the disciples who some were present, maybe watching from afar. There were those who loved Him that didn't care what everybody else around them was thinking. So there was a great dynamic around the cross at Calvary. So if I were to ask you this question, where would you have been at Calvary's cross? What crowd would you have identified with? And I'm going to ask you that same question today as we look at the Scriptures out of Mark's Gospel in chapter 2. Now, as we think about that, we need to understand that God has given us some responsibilities. Yeah, I think that we've got to this point that in society today that we think that salvation is about punching our ticket to get there, that salvation is what I do or I'm a good person or those kind of things. But let me tell you, folks, or should I say remind us, that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that salvation is about trusting in what Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross. That's what salvation is about. Salvation goes beyond just a mere, Lord, you know, I love you and I want to follow you and I am a sinner and I confess my sin before you. Once we become a child of God, then we need to begin to walk like a child of God. We need to begin to talk like a child of God. We need to have everybody who sees us realize whose family we're from. Have you ever had somebody look at you and say, I know you were raised better than that? Nobody wants to admit that. Right? Most of us have. You know why they said that? They said that because they knew your mama and daddy. They knew their walk. They knew their talk. They knew how you were raised, and they knew that you weren't walking in a manner according to the way that your parents raised you, much less the good Lord wants you to be as far as his child. So, you know, they said to you, I know better than that. You weren't raised that way. They were calling that on the carpet. You know, today maybe God is trying to shake us a little bit to say, you know what? I'm not raising you that way. How is our walk? How is our talk? Now, we're going to look today at some scriptures, and I want us to understand the different players that are present at this particular miracle that is about ready to take place. Look with me, if you would, at Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. It says, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Verse 3, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. Your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Today, as we come together and gather in your name, Lord, as we have stood before you and worshiped, Lord, we have been carried to your throne in song. And Lord, right now, we're giving careful attention to what it is that you want to speak to each and every heart as we're gathered here today. Lord, each and every heart as they're tuned in to this morning's broadcast. Lord, I pray that you will move us in your direction. I pray that you will reach out to us, that you will help us, Father, to realize that we will identify with one group in this crowd, at least one group in this crowd that we read about in Mark chapter 2. Father, help us to understand that you still are the miracle-working God and that you still want to do miracles in our midst and in our presence today. And Lord, you're still on the throne. Father, be with me as your messenger for these moments. May you be high and lifted up that you might draw all men unto you as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this passage, this is one that we've probably read many, many times. This passage in Mark 2 begins to lay out everything about this particular journey with Jesus. There in verse 1, it says that he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And you got to remember, Jesus was this heavyweight. Everywhere he went, incredible things were taking place. Have you ever noticed that? That wherever Jesus is, incredible things take place. Amen? Yeah, regardless, I often think about even when we consider back to the days of the Old Testament. You remember that time in that scripture where it talked about how they were moving the ark and they didn't do it the right way? Yeah, instead of having it on the poles and it being carried, they decided to innovate and they put it on a cart. Uzzah remembers real well because Uzzah ain't with us no more. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it slipped. Uzzah reached up and touched the ark. He was gone. Well, it kind of freaked everybody out. So, yeah, remember they put the ark in the house of Obed-Edom. Remember that? And they're like, man, we got to regroup here. We got to figure out what was going on. And if you read the scripture, it says that the house of Obed-Edom was blessed from the time that the ark was there. Listen, when you are in the presence of God, you are in the presence of blessing. You can't help it because anywhere where God is, blessings flow, right? All right. Now, my question is this. Where are we standing in proximity to the Father that those blessings may be upon us as well? Now, when we look at this, it talks about how Jesus entered Capernaum. It says, after some days, it was heard that he was in the house. People wanted to be where Jesus was. They had heard what was taking place. Now, there's been conversation that has come up before, and they said, well, yeah, do you think everybody that was seeking Jesus out of a pure and an honest heart towards salvation? The answer to that question is no, I don't think everybody was. I think that there were people there who were curious. I think that there were people who showed up to see who this Jesus was, because you remember, they had heard all kinds of things that Jesus was doing. They had heard about all these miracles that had taken place. So, you know, all of a sudden, if you hear, yeah, Jesus is going to be just down the street, wouldn't you want to go? Wouldn't you want to kind of see what was going on? Even if it was out of curiosity. And by the way, even it being out of curiosity is okay. There are people today, even as I speak, that have shown up in the house of the Lord. They have shown up in a church somewhere because they're curious. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Because see, remember, last time I checked, none of us are the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm not, you're not, but the Holy Spirit will draw men to him. So all of a sudden, Jesus, they find out he's in Capernaum, and he's going to be preaching. They find out where he is. And verse 2 says, immediately many gathered together so that there was there was no longer room to receive him, not even near the door. And he preached the word of God to them. So this is laying out what's taking place, what's going on. All of a sudden, this whole huge crowd finds out Jesus is around. They want to hear him. They go to his meeting. Now, a lot of these meetings took place in the house. This wasn't necessarily in the temple. This was probably at somebody's house. So if you were a host and you said, well, hey, Jesus, why don't you come on by my place, have a meal or whatever. Listen, it didn't matter what was going on. When people heard Jesus was there, they went. So all of a sudden, you know, you're trying to maybe get Jesus a meal or whatever, and you hear, oh, we heard Jesus is here. Oh, that's right. Yeah, come on in. Yeah, and then a few minutes later, all of a sudden, there's just all these people who are packed in there, shoulder to shoulder. Man, the COVID police would have a really tough time with that one. They were thick as dog hair in there, man. Standing room only. There probably wasn't even standing room, according to what the Scripture tells us. The Scripture tells us that after the house filled up, that they would even kind of hang out at the windows and the doors. And they would get to where they could best hear what was taking place. Verse 2, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Jesus is saying, hey, I got a crowd here. Why don't we just talk about the Father? So Jesus begins to preach, and these people are attentive, and they are listening. Now, you think you got it tough. Now, we were a little chilly in here last week, weren't we? It's different today, right? Hallelujah. Could you imagine standing up outside of a house? Could you imagine people being outside the windows, just stacked, so deep that they would run from the windows out to the road, and the doors would be open, and people were there listening to what Jesus had to say. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? It'd be kind of cool as long as you had a seat. Yeah, and now you're sitting there thinking, well, depending on what time of the day, it may have been hot. Now, all of a sudden, they're standing around. They're probably shifting their weight, listening. Have you ever thought about the things that we kind of complain about? I'm going to use that word because we do. We complain, don't we? We complain. Now, imagine what it would be like. You know, like I said, I've been to Cuba before where I'd be preaching on a Sunday just like this, and it was 90-plus degrees, and the sweat rolls. Praise God from whom all blessings flow because the sweat's rolling along the way. A lot of places don't have no air conditioning, and if they do, it's just to make you think they do because it don't work. It just doesn't. And yet they're there, and they're happy to be in the presence of the Father. I believe that there were many people, not only who showed up in that crowd, who were happy to be there. I think there were people who showed up that knew that they were in need. I think there were people who were in need physically. I think that there were people that showed up that were in need emotionally, and people who showed up that were in need spiritually. In every other way that you can think of, I believe those people showed up because they felt like Jesus could make the difference in their life. And let me tell you the good news. They were right. That news is still present today. Regardless of what sort of help you may be seeking, Jesus, I promise you, is the answer. Whether it's physical, whether it's psychological, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whatever it may be, Jesus, I promise you, is the answer. So guess what? You have come to the right place, seeking the Father. Not because I can be anything other than a messenger of His, but today He has shown up. Today you have come seeking Him. Now remember, we talked about who's going to be present at this particular meeting. The dynamic in that crowd was probably so different that we couldn't even begin to identify it. If we knew what was going on, listen, just like right now, we can look around. There are things that you know about people who are present in this sanctuary today. You know some battles that they're fighting where others don't know those battles. You know what's going on in their hearts. You know what is taking place. So, some of those things you know. Let me make this promise. God knows each and every one. Isn't that great? Yeah, and here's the really cool part. Each and every one are important to Him because they are important to us. Jesus cares. So we've got a crowd of people who have shown up at this house. Most people probably didn't even know the homeowner. They have come to this house that they might hear that their need, whatever that need may be, might be met through Christ. Now, verse 3 goes on, and it adds a new twist and a new dynamic. Picture what's taking place. The story's going on. Jesus is at the house. He's preaching. There are gobs of people around. These folks came a little late because they had something they had to do. But verse 3 tells us, it says, then they came to Him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Now, we can get that picture in our mind. For the most of us, that doesn't seem like anything that's odd or unusual. But once again, I want you to kind of make it real today. I want you to picture that Jesus is in here. Jesus is preaching. The place is packed. There's people standing around everywhere. They're hanging out at the windows. They're stacked as deep as the road. You can't even get near the place for the crowd of people. And then these guys came up with a fella on a stretcher. Now, most of us can sit back in our mind and comprehend why this was done. We might sit back and say, well, here are some guys that at least four guys probably, that had faith in Christ that could heal this man. So they said, well, you know what? I don't mind. I can get on one side of the stretcher and I can carry, my load till we get this person to Jesus so that Jesus might heal him. Now, here's the interesting part. When they showed up, now remember, they're getting ready to show up at Central Baptist Church, and you can't even pull in the parking lot because there's people all over the place. They're carrying a stretcher. What do you do?
What do you do? Now there's a reason I ask that question. The reason I ask that question is because there's a dynamic of people today in this world who give up much too quickly, much too easily. They don't try to figure out a solution. There would be some in our society today, and by the way, they're very prevalent, that would come up to the property and go, "We tried. Let's head on back." Is that you? Is that you? You know, I can imagine the discussion between these guys, because I have a feeling that there might have been one of them in the crowd that went, "Hup. We tried, we couldn't do anything now." And then there was another one who was holding the stretcher, probably looked at him and said, "Say what? Oh, no, uh-uh. No. I didn't come this far to stop right here. The Jesus we're looking for is just beyond that crowd. I don't care what we got to try, but we're going to try something. You just tote your end of that stretcher and let's make it happen." Then there was probably the indifferent one on the stretcher, you know, that says, "Well, whatever you guys want to do. I'm with you fellers." It's kind of like that scene in "Old Brother, Where Art Thou?" I'm voting for me to run this outfit. Well, I'm voting for me to run this outfit. The one guy, third guy out, he goes, "Well, I'm with you fellers." Nobody wants to make a decision about what's taking place. Then there was the other one. Remember, usually I'm just illustrating that there was four guys on this stretcher. Then there was the one that said, "I'm with him. We're not stopping. There is a way. Let's figure out a way. I don't know what it is, but let's get it figured out." Now, I haven't addressed the why yet. Why would these men be in the predicament they're in? Why would these men go to these lengths? What is it that would drive them to, very first of all, even get a stretcher, to get a man on it, to bring him to Jesus? Now, here's what I'm telling you. At least somebody on that stretcher was a compassionate person that had a love for the person that they were trying to get to Jesus. I'm not saying all of them were. You know what? Sometimes you can round up people, can't you? Have you ever rounded up somebody to follow your crazy whim? I have. You all. Have you ever done that before? When somebody's like, "You know what? I ain't got no idea what we're doing, but man, I love you and I trust you. Hey, let's do it." And they've seen some great and some incredible things along the way. I can't say that all four of these men had the heart and the compassion to get this friend to Jesus, but I'm telling you, at least somebody did. At least one of them did. And it was probably the one that said, "We didn't come this far to stop. I know we've got issues." Now, why do I say that? Because, folks, let me tell you something. In our lives today, and in society today, and in our church today, and in our job today, there is issue after issue after issue after issue here lately, right? Right? I mean, every time it seems like you solve one thing, something else crops up. How many are with me? I mean, it is this landslide of stuff. Just to give you an example, I mean, last week, when I was talking to Mark, I said, "Something's got to be weird. You don't have three furnace units all go down at the same time on a given Sunday. That sounds a little hanky to me." So after Mark gets done with the HVAC guys, you know what Mark tells me? "All three units went down at the same time, and there was no hanky business with it." Three of them, y'all. Those of you that were here last week know what I'm talking about. I mean, what are the odds of that? In this day and age, really good. Really good. Matter of fact, we've proven it. And listen, Satan is beating on God's people. You know what he's trying to get you to do? He's trying to get you to turn around with that stretcher and walk away. He's trying to get you to the point where you don't even get the stretcher and go get that person anymore. Well, right now we can't do that because we don't have gloves and a mask. We can't go get our friend and carry him to Jesus. Maybe there'll be a time down the... Listen, the time is now. Today is the day. Because we may not have tomorrow. Are we going to allow the obstacles of the world to keep us from doing what the Lord has called us to do? Are we going to allow that to distract us? Well, here were four guys who said, nope, not going to happen. Verse 4, it says, and when they could not come near him because of the crowds, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now, get this picture. Once again, I'm trying to make it modern day for you. We've got Jesus in here. He's speaking. We've got a packed house. We've got people in the parking lot. You can't even get to it. One guy says, I got an idea. And they go way down to the other end of the building, and they get a ladder from someone. And they get up on the roof, and they shimmy all down the elementary wing, and they cross over where the narthex is. And by the way, they're carrying a guy on a stretcher. Yeah, they probably got a couple of them up there and then hoisted him up. That's not easy. So then they get over, and imagine Jesus is preaching, and again, we're making it modern day, so all of a sudden y'all hear, brr, 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 and everybody's like, that is not a godly noise in the house of the Lord. And all of a sudden, you start to have sheetrock dust that's raining down on your head. And people start looking at Mark. By the way, for those of y'all tuned in, Mark's our building and grounds guy. And they're like, what is going on here? They cut this hole out. Now, at this particular point, mind you, listen, I've watched you all from up here. It's kind of fun to watch y'all from this vantage point. If something unusual happens, all of y'all look like bobbleheads. I've lost you at that point. Yeah, something happens. What's going on over there? Y'all want to go, hey, I'm up here. So, can you imagine the distraction that's taking place? They are taking the roof apart. Yeah, so they get everything clear, and I'm sure one or two of them stuck their head down there and said, how you doing? Don't mind us. And probably used the same ropes that they used to get him up on the roof, and they let him down in the presence of Jesus. Remember what I said a minute ago about players in the crowd? We're getting ready to be introduced to some more players in the crowd. I think that there were some there that were amazed at what was going on. I think all of them were probably amazed at what was going on to start with. But then when they saw what was happening, they became even more amazed. And there were probably a clientele in the crowd that said, now I'm going to tell you, that is love right there. That is compassion right there. That is dedication right there. That they wanted to get this hurting man into the presence of Jesus no matter what. Do you think that was costly? Now, do you think that, you know, after all was said and done, if that happened right here, we would be going, that is like one of the coolest things in the world. But we would still probably have Mark go to one of them four and say, you got insurance, don't you? Because we got a hole in the roof. And somebody needs to fix that hole in the roof. See, why am I saying that? I'm saying that to illustrate something to each and every one of us, that following Jesus can be costly. Yeah, I believe with all my heart that those guys that handled the situation of getting their friend to Jesus probably fixed the roof as well. But they knew that was the only way to get their friend into the presence of Jesus, that he might be healed. It says, so they uncovered the roof, verse 4, and let this man down. It says, so when they had broken through, they let down the bed in which the paralytic was lying. Now I want you to catch verse 5 and make sure that you don't miss this. Because verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, who is there? That's the faith of the men who brought their friend to Jesus. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting there saying that the faith of somebody else can bring about the healing of spiritual healing or salvation of somebody else. But I am telling you that the faith of a believer can bring about the physical healing in the life of somebody else. That's why we pray, isn't it? That's why we intercede. That's what we do. And Jesus was so moved at this. Jesus said, here are guys that love this man enough to get him into the healing presence of the Father, to not allow simple little things to stop them. How many simple little things have stopped us from being about the Father's business in the past couple of years? How many things? How many things have we sat back and said, oh, be careful about that? I mean, hey, it's worth thinking about, isn't it? How many things have stopped us from being what we need to be for the Father, to being obedient to His will? Jesus saw what was taking place, and He said to the man who was lowered down, He said, your sins are forgiven you. Now, there was another set of players in that crowd, another dynamic that was at the church meeting that we find out in verse 6. It says, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. That's dangerous right there, isn't it? When y'all first saw the word scribes, y'all went, uh-oh, here we go. So there's some scribes sitting there in the present. It says, reasoning in their hearts, and here was their reasoning, verse 7. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? You know what? At that point, that is just a big sack of wet blanket around everything God is wanting to do. You know people like that, don't you? You've seen that before. You've seen them in your life. You're excited about something, and all they can do is be critical. All they can do is criticize. You know, what happens is that you're sitting going, hey, look at this. And you're like, well, it's got a chip in it. Yeah. Well, hey, look, guess what we get to do? We get to do this and such. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't think I'd go that time of the year. Well, hey, I just want a trip, you know, to the Bahamas, man, free of charge. Everything is paid for. Well, that's during hurricane season. How many of you all know people like that? Come on. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, the same thing happens spiritually. You know, did you get what the scribes missed? They missed that Jesus has healed a man. They missed the length that his friends went to bring him there, and they're sitting back going, oh, that's just blasphemy. He didn't follow the rules. You know, here's what I want to say. I'm glad Jesus didn't follow all the rules. But yet there are Pharisees everywhere. There are scribes everywhere. Remember what I said when I started this message? Which part of this crowd do you identify with? Do you identify with those who heard that Jesus was there and wanted to be around him and you're seeking something? Do you identify with one of the we're calling it four, that loved a friend so much that they went to great lengths to get him into the presence of Jesus, and they overcame obstacles to get him into the presence of the Master that he might be healed? Or do you find yourself sitting in the congregation being wowed about what it is that Jesus is doing and teaching, going, wow. Man, I can even say it backwards. Wow. See, there was that crowd. But then there were the scribes. He's not doing this right. This is blasphemy. He's not following the rules. Here's my question for you. Listen, because I can make you this promise. Every one of these dynamics is represented today. Which one are you? Which one are you? Are you trying to get somebody into the presence of Jesus? Don't quit. You're going to have to unthatch a roof. Don't quit. You're going to have to repair a roof. Don't quit. Maybe you're in the presence of the Father going, wow, this is cool. Maybe you're the scribes sitting there going, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Which group do you align with out of this passage? You see, Jesus went on to tell them in verse 8, it says, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves. See, they hadn't really even said anything to Jesus yet. Remember it said they thought about this. It's talking about the scribes. They thought these things. And Jesus perceived in his spirit, verse 8, that they reasoned thus within themselves. In other words, he knew exactly what they were thinking, and he knows exactly what you're thinking. He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And I love this. Verse 12. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Is that the way you're going to walk out today? Wow. Man, look at, we ain't never seen nothing like this before. So God does his very best when it seems to be the most impossible. You know why? Because too many men like to take credit for what God accomplishes, don't they? Too many people said, but, and that carries me back to Gideon. I love that passage in Gideon. I would not have wanted to have been Gideon when he had to go to battle. Negative. God said, yeah, Gideon's got this big army amassed, and Lord says, okay, you're getting ready to go to battle, but there's a problem. What's the problem, Lord? You got too many soldiers. Say what? So I thought the idea was to overcome them with superior numbers. No, you got too many. Too many of them. So you go down there and you ask him, boys, all of y'all that are scared, how many of y'all scared? How many of you scared? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, Lord, we got the number of those that are scared. Tell them they can go home. Wait, what? Okay, all y'all that put your hand up and scared, y'all fellas go on home. It'll be all right. We got this. And they said, and took off. Gideon's probably getting a little concerned at this point. God says, nope, there's still too many. Huh? Remember he took them down there and based on the way that they would drink water were the ones that were selected. So after it's all said and done, Gideon has how many men? 300. If I was Gideon, I'd have been going, my last will and testament, I leave. You know why? Because those were impossible odds. And oh, God told Gideon that when he started. Remember how that started out? What God told Gideon was, he says, you got too many people. What's going to happen is, if you go out and win this battle, everybody's just going to think you're a good general and that you've got good fighters. They're not going to give me credit for it. God says, I'm going to put you in a position where only I can get credit for it, where only I can get praise for it, where only I can get glory for it. How would you like to have been Gideon and one of his 300? You want to talk about courage? You know what? Courage is doing what you're supposed to do and what you need to do, even in the face of fear. That's courage. Courage is charging the machine gun nest when it's just you. You know what God's looking for? God's looking for men who have courage. Men who have trust. Men who have faith. Men who will stand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I don't care what your numbers are, me and God outnumber you. That's what this generation needs. That's what this society needs. The man got up and he walked out in the presence of those who knew that he couldn't have done that without the healing touch of the hand of the Master. We've never seen anything like this. I don't know about you. I want to see God do some really cool things that we've never seen before. How about you? Do you want to see that? If you do, guess what he's going to do? He's going to ask you to participate, to be a part of that. To grab an end of a stretcher. To saw the roof open. Oh, Lord, you know what? I'd like to do that, but, you know, I hadn't had the chainsaw safety class. Yeah, Lord, I'd love to help get them up there, but that's an OSHA violation, and I have to be really careful about my job. Lord, I'd like to do that, but there's just too many people in the way, and if I go through with that stretcher, I'm just going to bother somebody, and I do not want to mess with that little old lady up front. She's liable to hit me with her pocketbook. See, excuses are a dime a dozen, aren't they? Any excuse is a good one when you're looking for one. I remember the old song. Some of y'all might remember this old song. It was kind of a fast beat song. It says, excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. Well, the devil, he'll supply them. When at church, you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. What excuse are you using? Listen, we're in the excuse-using generation. Well, you know what? I've enjoyed watching church from the recliner at the house. I think I'll continue. You're missing church. You're missing church. You're missing what it's like to come together to serve the Lord. Oh, listen, I'm grateful for technology. I'm grateful for the fact that there are people all around the world that will be watching this particular broadcast, if not live today, sometime throughout this week. I'm glad for that. I'm glad for those who that's part of their opportunity. But listen, that ain't grabbing a stretcher end, is it? That ain't cutting a roof open. That's not being the guy looking through going, sorry, Mark, I got some spackling and some 2x4s and I got this. Do you know what I love about that? What I love about it is Mark might have started off going, but then when he saw what was going on, he'd be like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. Wow. We can fix the roof. We can fix the marks on the walls. We can change the carpet, right? Sure we can. I want to see God do something incredible. And here's what I got a feeling. God's always wanted to do that. And he wants to do that with the people he has. So you know what that means? That means you. And some of us sit back and say, well, we've taken a pretty bad hit since COVID. Yeah, we have. But you know what? That doesn't mean that God said, oh, my plan's foiled. What that means is he wants to use you to accomplish his will. Those that are here, those that are left, that's what he wants to do. You're it. You're sitting there going, well, you know what? It's a whole lot easier to lift when there's more. This heavy lifting's better when there's more people. Uh-huh. You're right. Get on the end of the stretch. You know what the cool thing? I'd love to have seen a follow-up to this where it said that everybody saw what was going on and they hoisted the guy on the stretcher overhead and just hand-over-handed him through the door to Jesus. Wouldn't that have been cool? That didn't happen. Sometimes it was because people didn't know. Yeah, I think the people inside didn't have a clue what was going on outside till the roof started coming apart. What's going on in your corner of the world? What's going on in your life? What has God called you to do? Verse 12 says, we have never seen anything like this. I believe God still wants to do something that we have never seen anything like it before. But he's calling you and me to do it. Do we have the compassion? Do we have what it takes to say, Lord, this is unusual. I know it's going to be costly, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I want to be what you want me to be. No matter what. We'll ask our musicians if they'd make their way down to the front for our time of invitation. What is it that God has put on your heart? Because God has never called anybody. If you're living and breathing, God did not call you to sit. He called you to serve. Are you fulfilling that in the area that God's given you the talent and ability? I'm not trying to get you outside of your box. I'm trying to get you inside your box. What does God have you to do? Yeah, every time I think about my brother Larry that is now with Jesus, I think about him standing at that door, handing out a bulletin with a smile on his face and a handshake. And people might say, well, that wasn't nothing. No, that was something. That was a talent and ability that God gave him to make you feel welcome when you came into the house of the Lord. And I always did. Larry just smiling. Morning, preacher. God's calling stretcher bearers. He ain't calling scribes. If we have the attitude of a scribe today, maybe we need to change our attitude, and that begins right here. That begins with you and the Father. First of all, do you know Him? Are you following Him? Have you given your life to our Savior? Have you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess my sins. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Have you done that? Listen, if not, you're not even part of the family of God. And if you draw your last breath right now, you will spend eternity, all of eternity in this place called hell. Is that what you want? Well, you're on the clock. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to give you the thoughts of reality. Listen, if you need Jesus, simply ask Him, Lord, forgive my sins. Come into my life. Save my soul. Right where you are, wherever that is, do it right now. Don't let another second tick off this clock. Then I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to let me know so we can celebrate with you, so we can get you information, so we can help you to grow in grace and grow in your faith. That's what we want to do. I'm not trying to single anybody out. Maybe you're here today and you have identified yourself as part of the crowd at the house that day and you didn't like the identification that the Holy Spirit showed you. You know what? You can change that today. What will you do? What business do you have with the Father that needs to be done? I'm going to ask you to do that now. If you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it's here. You come as we stand and as we sing our invitation here.
Come every soul by sin. Yes, Jesus is.
just a moment. I do have a family I want to introduce you to. I'll get you guys to come on up here if you'll stand right with me for just a moment, and I promise I'll make it quick. A lot of you over the past months have had the opportunity to see Steve and Mari Kelly, and this is Mom Jean, right? Okay. And they have been with us through the pandemic in different various and sundriest places around the church, where we've met, from parking lots to gymnasiums to here. But today they are coming requesting membership at Central Baptist Church. They are here to serve the Lord. That's what they want to do. We're looking so forward to the opportunity to have them here. They have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They have followed in believers' baptism, and they are coming by letter of transfer. And this young lady has been serving the Lord since she was 12 years old. So we got a heavyweight spiritual here, right? So at any rate, do I hear that they be received into this fellowship? Is there a second? All those who rejoice in their coming signify by saying a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get JC, if you would, to lead them back there. Could you do that? Yeah, we'll get you a seat. We'll get you a seat. We'll get you a seat back there. Blake is going to take care of JC as JC. Steve, if y'all would just go by JC, he'll take you back there to the door, and Blake will give a chance to for folks to greet you all on the way out. We're not done yet. We're going to take the offering and do the collection, so we got plenty of time to get you folks back there. How's that? Go ahead, if you would. We're glad to have you guys. We look forward to it. I think Steve has taught Sunday school in the past, and JC has served for many years as a deacon, as a champion of visitation, and I know he loves being able to do this, but we'll make sure. Blake's going to make sure that that anybody who needs a seat out there will have a seat, and be sure to take the time to go by and greet them. I'm going to ask our ushers, if they would, to make their way down the front at this time. Also, Doug and JD, if they'll make their way to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. What a joy and a privilege it is. God has blessed us in so many ways and in so many fashions. He just simply asked us to give back that small portion that He has blessed us with in such a fantastic and a phenomenal way. May we be found faithful as we do that. Let's pray for our offering together. Father, You're good to us. Everything we have comes from You. Lord, we are simply stewards of Your things, of Your finances, of Your abilities to bless and provide. Thank You, Father, for allowing us to be a steward. May we be found a faithful steward as we return to You the tithe and offering. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
With my soul,
yeah.
but the whole.
Doug's brother, John's other son, older son, actually leads our wind ensemble here as well. So the Crider legacy continues on, and I know Nancy's proud, so we'll make sure that that head don't get big when she goes out the door, which I know it won't, man. We love her to death, but I know today's been a really good day for her, having that opportunity to be blessed by her children serving the Lord in the house of the Lord together. What a joy that is. Yeah, this is our final Sunday for our in-gathering of Operation Christmas Child. As you see the boxes that we have down here, again, we have simply asked that as you pack that box, you do so continuing to pray for the child that will receive that box. God always knows who that is. He knew from the foundations of this earth, and your faithfulness and your obedience has paired you with a particular child. Hopefully, you may, by tracking it, you might even find out who that is. I know Beverly and Ken said that at one point they got a letter from
the child that received their box. You can track, you know, where it goes. It's not really about that. It's about your faithfulness in them not only receiving something as a Christmas gift, but also having the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. So in our final time, what we ask you to do is to present your gifts at the altar as an obedient sacrifice. Vicky's going to play as we're in an attitude of prayer. Would you come and present your boxes at the altar? As you do, be sure to say a prayer for that child that will receive it. You come now. Thankful that you take little and make it much. Father, before us represents obedience. Before us represents compassion that brought a sick paralytic man into the presence of the Father. And Lord, today we don't know the children that will receive these gifts, but you do. Lord, you planned it out from the very beginning, and Lord, we have been allowed to be a part of something great and incredible that will make us say, wow, that you're doing. Father, we pray for these kids. We pray for the transportation, and you've already got all that worked out. Lord, I pray most of all that through a small gift, these children will come to the saving knowledge of your grace, that we may someday see each other in heaven. So Lord, right now, bless these gifts. Use them in accordance to your will, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick, before we go, just a couple of things. This week, birthdays. Jennifer Willard, that's Jeff's bride. Where's Jeff? I know Jeff. There's Jeff. Jeff's bride celebrating a birthday today, actually, right? Today. All right. Tomorrow, Alex Gwynn. Y'all know little Alex. Man, she's a rounder, so be sure to wish her a happy birthday. And then Wednesday, if you're seeing double, it's because Erica and Aaron Wright, Don's twins, will be celebrating their birthday this coming Wednesday. And then also this coming Friday, we have one anniversary. That is Nancy and Kelly Young. Just you celebrating your first year of marriage, right? Yeah, I had to remind Kelly, first year of marriage. So folks, be sure to celebrate with these folks this week as God just sees fit. Man, what a blessing it is to be part of the family of God. Be sure on your way out to welcome Steve and Mari to the family. They're standing out there in the lobby. I think Blake's probably got them sitting down and taken care of. We look forward to seeing you tonight. We do have adult Bible study, 6 o'clock p.m. David Miller right here, youth 6 o'clock over in the youth room, and Awana at 5:30. So we'll look forward to seeing folks then. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we'll see you tonight. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house and the fact that, Lord, you still use people to accomplish your will. May we be found with a heart of compassion and hands of service as we go forward in this life. May we not be discouraged or distressed by the world in which we live today, but may we truly be about the Father's business. Father, help us today. Help us to be a blessing to someone, and bring us back again that we might worship with you, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, by the way, we do have proposed budgets for this year. Next week is our meeting. On Sunday evening will be our annual business meeting and our annual conference presentation. All right, see you tonight. Thank you, sir.